Welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast. This is Pastor Crystal.
And Pastor Sean over here. Welcome back, everybody.
Well, it's another day.
Another day. What do you got in your cup over there?
I'm drinking coffee that I brewed at home with some pumpkin pie creamer.
Oh, yeah. Some pumpkin pie creamer.
Yeah, that's
all right. Good. All right.
What about you?
I've got a little homemade cold brew today with Sister's Coffee.
Okay.
And so we made a new batch of cold brew yesterday. And even though it's rainy outside, you know, figure I'm just going to bring some cold brew today and pretend like it's, you know, I don't know, spring or summer, even though I really like the fall. So I'm not ready to go back to heat quite yet.
You're drinking cold coffee and I'm drinking pumpkin pie flavored coffee.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the flavored coffee, but that's not what this podcast is about. So
just getting into it.
Yeah. So hopefully you guys got something good in your cup, wherever it is you find yourself listening to this podcast.
We're just taking questions from the sermon or diving deeper into some of the themes that came up. So thanks for sending in questions. It was fun. Last week was a good one. And we've got more questions to talk about today.
Yeah, week four. So we got just one more week in the sermon series. So, enjoyed this weekend. And what a great Sunday, by the way.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Celebrating baptisms and just so cool to be able to have a front row seat to experience some of that. So yeah, it was a great Sunday. Yep. But got some questions, I guess, huh?
Yeah, we got some questions.
Okay.
All right. So this week was about hospitality and how crazy Christians practice that and what that actually means for us as believers and what it doesn't necessarily mean. So a few questions. You used Romans 12 in the sermon talking about blessing those who persecute us and overcoming evil with good. So what does that really look like in today's polarized culture?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Romans 12 is interesting anyway, because you can kind of do an overlay of the Sermon on the Mount with Romans 12. And so it's kind of Paul putting the Sermon on the Mount into his own words to the church at Rome. And so just tagging back to those words of Jesus about what it looks like to live into his kingdom, which is a completely upside down way of going about it. Right. So this is, this is why Paul gets into the, you know, bless and do not curse, you know, don't take revenge, you know, cause it's the Lord's to revenge or to avenge, he says, do not be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. And one of the ways that Christians did that in the first couple of centuries was through their practice of hospitality. And they lived in a, I don't know if you would call it a polarized culture, but a very, I think the word I'm trying to think of is like stratified. So like there was, you know, our kind of this class system, right? Where you belonged to your class and your group and they belonged to other people and you just didn't. You had no responsibility towards one another necessarily. And Christians really began to flip that whole thing upside down, to say, no, we do belong to one another and we can reach across social barriers. And it was kind of shocking, to first century Romans, first century Gentiles, in Jewish culture and really in any Middle Eastern culture, hospitality was expected. Like it was just part of how they practiced their culture, but it wasn't, it was in a sense of a kind of, we just have to do this. Yeah. We have to do kind of the bare minimum, but Christians took it a step further and offering hospitality, not only to those that they knew, right? So traveling pastors and missionaries and letter carriers and all those things, they didn't have, you know, they weren't like booking Airbnbs, yeah. You know, and taking a taxi, like they were walking from place to place. And so it was pretty normal for Christians to house, you know, those types of folks, but then also the stranger, right? And so we talked about how hospitality is literally love of stranger. And so that's, I think, where it maybe connects with us today, in terms of where are we opening up our lives for people that maybe think differently than us, that believe differently than us. How do we reach across those polarizing issues that have been politicized to the extreme, right? And so making us believe that if somebody believes something different than us, then there is no way that we could actually have something in common or build common ground. And I think Christians are in a unique position to model that, right? And to have maybe a tenderness of heart, to do what Jesus did, right? And to go, Jesus was touching the unclean. He was going to the tax collector's house. He was even going to, Gentile spaces, as well as to, preaching in the synagogue and connecting with Pharisees. So it wasn't at the exclusion of one or the other. It was all of it, So there was this kind of openness of heart and life to the whole thing. And so I think I'm talking too long and I kind of forgot what the actual question was.
But, what does that really look like in today's polarized?
Yeah. And so I think it looks like not allowing yourself to be polarized, like not allowing your heart to be driven by the rage culture that we live in, by the news outlets, the senses that are profiting by your attention, right? And so when we give them our attention, they're making money hand and fist, and then we find ourselves anxious and polarized, right? So it's a raw deal to begin with. And so how do we not allow our hearts to be driven by those things, so that we can truly love neighbor, right? So that I can bless those who maybe persecute me and think radically different than I do. How can I absorb an offense? When Paul talks about, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He's thirsty, give him something to drink. And then he says, in doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head, right? Which is an ancient idiom, basically, for, hey, like, that's the way that you're going to tenderize their heart. That's the way that they're going to see maybe or recognize the Holy Spirit's conviction in their own life. Like, I don't have to berate somebody into the kingdom of God, right? I can love somebody into the kingdom of God and trust that through that act of hospitality, God's Spirit's working. The question is, can I actually trust that in a polarized culture, right? Yep. Do I actually believe that will work? And we said from the very beginning, right, following Jesus has always been crazy. And so it's crazy to believe in a polarized culture that good can actually overcome evil. When everybody is kind of up in arms and about everything that's wrong. And so we feel like we want to fight rather than offer hospitality. That's a challenge.
Yeah. I think, the end of that question, what does it look like in today's polarized culture? We tend to think that, this is the worst things have ever been, or like nothing has ever been polarizing before, or it's never been quite like this. And there are obviously things about what we're living through right now that are different, but looking back in history, you find many examples of times where it was, like you said, maybe not polarizing, but just so vastly different and separate, and the ways that we viewed people. And the Holy Spirit worked then, and there's testimony to that. And so I just think, again, we think really, linear and right in front of us, and remembering the bigger picture and the bigger story is important. And I'm glad you talked about the heaping coals, because I was thinking through that on Sunday. I'm like, some people are going to wonder what the heck that means. So good job unpacking that. Okay. So some of that goes to this next question, which is, why do you think God ties hospitality so closely to witness and the advancement of his kingdom? I think you answered a little bit of it in that, in terms of like, what does love compel us to do? And the love of God compelled people to move towards hospitality, but maybe unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, again, I would probably urge you, if you're listening, you can go back and listen to the sermon on our practice of witness. You can find that in our podcast library or on YouTube. So just in terms of like what witness looks like. Mm-hmm. So I think like, again, like we take our cues from Jesus, right? And so reflect on Jesus's life. And, you know, he was so attractive to people, right? People of all, you know, all social statuses, like they all like were drawn to him. And it's not because of what he said necessarily, because sometimes what he said turned people off, right? But there was this openness of spirit, I think, that drew people to him. But there was a, you know, he talks about how he is gentle in heart, right? The whole come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so there was this gentleness about him, about his person, I think, that caused people to feel welcome. And so we might call that hospitality, right? There was just the spirit of hospitality about who he was, that caused whoever came to him to feel like they were accepted by him.
Yeah.
You know, and then he used, you know, sometimes hard sayings and said some hard things, but it was always in the spirit of hospitality, right? It was always in the spirit of welcome. And it was never, you know, it was always the people that chose to walk away. It wasn't Jesus who did that, right?
Right.
And so I think there was that piece of it. And maybe in terms of when it comes to our witness, you know, we feel like, and this maybe even tags back to the last question of like, somebody's got to stand for truth, right? Somebody has to say what is true. And I don't disagree with that so much. It can't be at the exclusion of welcome, of how do we host the kingdom of God in the world? And if all I'm doing is, you know, grabbing a microphone like everybody else and yelling out truth, then it can't be received and likely won't be received, because there's no, it's absent the welcoming heart of God, right? It's absent like this, hey, like, I'm going to love you anyway. Like, even if you reject what I think is true, to your own harm, how do I continue to open my heart to you as to bear witness, right? So, you know, 2 Corinthians 5, right? We are ambassadors of Christ Jesus, as though God were making his appeal through us, which I always think is crazy.
Yep.
Like that God would choose to, you know, Jesus is on the earth for 3 years, then he says, okay, now it's up to you all to like bear witness, to be ambassadors, because God is making his appeal through us as Christians, right? We are both the reconcilers and called people to reconciliation, right? And so how do we do that? I think we do it, at least historically and in early Christianity, is through the act of hospitality.
Yeah.
Of this, not only do we welcome people, but we are proactive in kind of how we bring people in.
Yeah.
And allow that to create the soil then for people to receive truth as the Spirit like opens them to it. Right. And so we talked the previous episode about building bridges, right? Like it's that sort of like hospitality is like the raw material of bridge building, right? Like that's how I build a bridge for people. And so, yeah, I think that's how it ties to witness. Yeah. But again, like I would encourage y'all to go back and listen to our series practice on witness, and that kind of helps unpack that a little bit more.
Right. You said something about Jesus being, you know, this presence, this gentle presence that was welcoming, and people were drawn to him. And then, you know, then they would engage him, and then he would kind of, you know, move towards maybe, you know, deeper conversation or harder questions and things. And it reminded me, used a Henry Nouwen quote on Sunday about hospitality, but he has another hospitality quote that's often used that says hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them a space where change can take place. And I thought about that in terms of what we were talking about Jesus. Like, he's not out there like forcing people to change, but he's giving them space where that can happen. And that's the same thing we do when we create space for people is we're just inviting them into something, mm-hmm. and they can make their choice, but mm-hmm. at least we've created this space. Mm-hmm. And then we trust the Holy Spirit to do the work in them. It's not up to us yeah. to then make change happen. It's like, hey, we open our hearts to people, regardless of where they stand on different things, regardless of what they believe. And then we make space for the Spirit to do that work in them, just like Jesus did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the honest question is like, do we actually believe that the Spirit will do it?
Yeah.
Right. And like, how do I take the pressure off of myself, but not the urgency?
Yeah.
Right. I think that's the piece. Like, I don't have to feel pressure to quote unquote win people to Christ. We don't win people to Christ. Like, the Spirit draws people to Christ.
Right.
But I need to feel the urgency about I want people to experience that. And so how do I create the space for that to happen? As you were talking, I was also reminded of the words of Isaiah 9. It's the one we often use at Christmas time about Jesus, you know, and how the government will be on his shoulders and all the things. And at the very last verse in that little section is the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Right.
Right. So it's like God will do it as we participate in what God is doing. Yeah. And so like, how do we take the pressure off of ourselves, but not the urgency.
Yep.
Right. And I think that's maybe the key piece of it is I don't have to feel the pressure to like, you know,
it's up to me to do this.
Yeah, totally. Or it's, you know, up to me to defend God or all those things, but how do I represent God? How do I be an ambassador and be urgent about that? Because I believe it changes lives.
Right.
Right? And I believe it's what God wants. Right. And so like, there has to be an urgency to help people come to know Christ, just not the pressure to like, I have to like just put it all out there in one shot. Otherwise, you know, so do I really trust that God's Spirit is what draws people to Christ, and I participate with God's Spirit in that as I make myself available through hospitality, through a lifestyle of hospitality for people.
Yeah. One of the things, you know, you said it multiple times in the sermon, just for clarification, that this isn't just about setting a nice table or opening up your home. And, you know, yes, that is included, but sometimes people can like, oh no, this is just one more thing I have to do. Mm. And, you know, they're already feeling burnt out, busy, whatever. And so clarifying, how do you make space for hospitality without feeling like you have to do one more thing? What's the difference between, you know, creating space in your heart and in your mind that, you know, and not necessarily just in your calendar? Mm-hmm. It includes that, but it's not just that. So what are some practical ways that looks like? Maybe just unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't know if I know super practical. I think it's a lifestyle that we have to develop. Talk about that just a little bit, you know. And so how do I see everything that I do as an opportunity for hospitality? So if I, you know, wherever it is that I work, I can be the most hospitable person in that space, right? Yeah. I can be the most welcoming person in that space. And so how do I allow the Spirit to transform me in such a way that I have an openness of heart and life? And sometimes that's maybe hard for the introverts of us, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, the extroverts, but the introvert or extrovert doesn't mean you're hospitable, right? And so like, right. like this sense of like, no, I have a genuine openness to you, and I carry myself that way. And so I think the first step is just like, hey, like, where am I already, you know, at? I don't have to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I can open myself in that space. Even if it's in your home, like one of the things that I was processing is like, how do I have a hospitable heart for my children? Mm-hmm. Right. It's really easy to just be tired at the end of the day and scroll my phone or get busy, you know, doing something else to maybe distract me and not offer my heart and life to my kids. Right. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds weird, but that's just like a space of like, hey, how do I just offer, you know, be a hospitable heart to my own children? And maybe that means I have to sacrifice a little bit. Maybe that means I have to stay up a little bit later than I wanted to. Right. You know, so I think that piece of it is like, I don't, sometimes it is adding something to your calendar, right? Yeah. Sometimes it is, yeah, you got to like stop doing something. You got to stop being so busy so that we can be available. And that's hard. But that's the truth of it, right? Like, how do I just not be so jam-packed in my calendar, my schedule, that I can't allow an interruption,
right?
Or allow a conversation to linger maybe a little bit longer, right? And so I think those are all practical pieces of it. And ultimately, it goes back to, I think, what I talked about at the end of the message, the practices of scripture and prayer that create an awareness of, in me, of where the Holy Spirit's at work. And then how do I just respond to that? Yeah. So instead, again, of feeling the pressure to like do a bunch more things, I want to feel the urgency and be aware of, hey, I sense the Spirit is working here and I need to pay attention to that. And I've allowed space in my calendar for that, or I have a little bit more space in my spirit for that because I have done, you know, the things to prepare me for that. Again, Jesus is the example, right? So scripture says frequently he's getting away, right, by himself to pray. He does that, one, because he's relying on the Father. But then I think that also like creates an openness in his spirit for the people that he needs to provide hospitality for. We're not Jesus, right? We can't take on the, you know, the world, but we can take on, you know, our families, our neighbors, you know, those we go to work with, and offer ourselves there. So, I don't know if I got practical enough.
Yeah. There. I think, you know, you said it's a lifestyle, it's a practice, it's a posture that you take wherever you are. How can I be hospitable in the space that I'm in? And you said about clearing your calendar, sometimes it requires that. And then you briefly just said also clearing out your mind and your heart. Mm-hmm. And if your heart and mind are so full of all the junk that's going on, then it's going to be really hard to create hospitable space. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just looking at your calendar or what's on your schedule, but where's my heart at? Like, where's my mind at? And scripture and the prayer helps us reorient, you know, those things. It helps us put things in perspective. And then we have a little bit more space in our heart. If I'm just angsty all the time and I'm going through the grocery store and somebody, you know, does something, I don't know, cuts me off in the parking lot and I'm already feeling angsty, then I have no room in my heart to even just be like, man, maybe there's something else going on here. You know, I don't know what people are coming in with, but I have no space to even process that if I'm just full of angst and anxiety and worry about what else is going on. If I can, you know, walk in the Spirit and take a breath, then maybe I can see the bigger picture again. It's just creating margin and having space for that. Practically, you know, it looks like calendar. And also, sometimes it does require us adding. We've said multiple times over the last couple of weeks that, you know, it's surrender.
Yeah.
And that's hard. It's hard for us to swallow that. It might have to be a little bit uncomfortable. It might have to hurt a little bit. We might have to die to ourselves a little bit. It's hard to swallow that. And we want to find a balance of, well, how do I care for myself and do all this and do all the rest of it? And again, following Jesus doesn't always make sense. And it's a little crazy, but I think that's what's required of us sometimes is the sacrifices that just feel, this don't make sense to the rest of the world.
Yeah, no, that's exactly like what I was thinking when you were talking. Like, is there anything in the Christian life that doesn't require sacrifice?
Nope.
And so like this is the ultimate example of Christ, you know? And so just like generosity requires sacrifice, I think hospitality requires sacrifice. Yeah. It requires us to die a little bit so that we can put others first. Yeah. And so, it's a yes to everything you just said. It's that piece of like, how do I give myself away?
Yeah.
Like, what's it going to look like for me to give myself away today?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that, I was having a conversation with somebody. It doesn't mean that you give up your agency, right? So it doesn't mean you cease to become a person,
right?
So I retain my agency, I retain my personhood, but I willingly give my life away to others, right? So there's a difference between like somebody taking my life from me, right? That's where I start to lose my agency. But if I can retain that, and sometimes that means there's boundaries in place, how do I offer my life and hospitality to others as an act of sacrifice, as a modeling of Christ Jesus? So I think there's a difference there, an important kind of distinction between like what it looks like to like feel like you, your life has been taken from you,
right,
or somebody has consistently like trespassed on your boundaries, mm-hmm, right, and began, you begin to lose your agency. But if I can hold that, then you know Jesus never loses his agency, right? Jesus's life is not taken from him; he gives it willingly, right. And that's our model, right? Right? We give our lives willingly to people through hospitality.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking about, you know, the sacrifices that we have to make, and you know, in real practical terms, you know, we've said it's not about necessarily opening your home, although it might be.
Yeah.
I was thinking about when we first had like an apartment, and I just felt really like it's too small, and I don't want to have anybody come over, and it just felt awkward. I had to sacrifice my pride,
right,
to say, do I really want to create space for people? And am I just going to let, you know, how I feel about my space inhibit that? Mm-hmm. And I just had to decide like, no, I have to sacrifice my pride a little bit to open my space. And of course, nobody cares really. Like nobody, they just want to be invited into something. So, you know, the sacrifice looks a little bit different for everybody, but yeah, sometimes it requires that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the last question here is, how do we know if we're actually making room in our heart for others, or if we're just doing it out of duty?
Yeah. This is probably maybe just personal opinion, maybe for me, but like, sometimes we do it out of duty.
Yep.
Right. Like, especially if you look at historically, like those, you know, ancient Middle Eastern cultures, Jewish culture, they did it out of duty. Like it was required of them. So sometimes I think we don't feel like it, mm-hmm, and we do it anyway. So duty's not always bad. If it's always out of duty, like if the Spirit is not growing the capacity of my heart to be compassionate and loving, yeah, and welcoming towards people, then I need to ask the Spirit to search me and know me, right? Like, so I think it's both those things,
yeah,
right? It's like, yeah, sometimes, I mean, I don't always feel like being hospitable to people,
right?
Especially if I've had a bad day or that person is just really being a jerk. I'm like, yeah, you deserve everything you get right now. Right. And so like, I think those things are normal.
Yeah.
And I follow Jesus anyway.
Right.
In those spaces, you know, don't always do it well.
Yeah.
But
I think that's for all the practices, right? Like, do I always want to, you know, give? No, sometimes I look at my financial situation, sure, and I go, wow, this doesn't really make sense. So I do it anyways.
Yeah.
You know, do I really want to take silence and solitude retreat? No, right. I don't. It's really hard, but I do it anyway sometimes. And we do it, and then we say, okay, Spirit, I'm trusting you to grow this in me, like grow my generosity, grow my hospitality, grow my dependence upon you. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, sometimes we just have to do it anyway and trust that the Spirit will then create this desire for us to seek it more and to lean into it more. But sometimes, especially when we're first figuring out, you know, even just the practices, what it looks like for us, we just do it. We just have to step into it,
yeah,
and then trust. And I, speaking for myself, I've never regretted it. Like Jesus has never failed to meet with me there and then do something in me. Mm-hmm. I've never regretted it. I've never come up lacking. Mm-hmm. He's always been faithful to do it. The Spirit's always done new work in me. And so then it just keeps me wanting to lean in more and like trust. And I think that's the point.
Totally. Yeah. I think sometimes you just have to do it.
Yep.
Right. And
this is not an ad, right, for Nike.
Nike ad, but I was thinking about just again that passage from Hebrews, especially when it comes to hospitality, and just a quick maybe like caveat, like some people have the gift of hospitality, and so you know those people are generally the ones that, you know, they may see their home as a space for that, or they, you know, they have these kind of natural,
yeah,
spiritual gifts that help that,
right,
great welcome. You say so. So we're,
we love you.
Yes, very much so. If you have the gift of hospitality, we'd love to talk.
We'd love to.
But all of us are called to be hospitable persons, right? All of us are called to hospitality as a reflection of the generous heart of God, the welcoming heart of God. And so, you don't have to be gifted in hospitality to be a hospitable person,
right?
I think that's what the Spirit makes does in us. And so I was reminded, maybe as we wrap up again, of the words from Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, right? It says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget, right? So I think it's a good, yep. Like, sometimes we just forget, right? We get busy in our lives and get going. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. So again, people that are different than us, people that we may encounter. It's easy to do it with the people you love most times. But a little bit more difficult with people that think differently than us. So don't forget to show hospitality to strangers in this last part. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. And for me, that's got a little bit of a motivator. Like, yeah. You know, sometimes, hey, like, I don't know. Like, you know, maybe if I just, you know, hold that door for somebody or let somebody, you know, actually turn in on the road when nobody will let them turn in. You know, just these dumb little things. But there may be more going on than we think. And when we make room in our lives, when we make space in our calendars, it allows us to maybe make a difference in ways that we may not realize until we get to heaven one day, right? That maybe in doing so, you know, we've entertained angels without knowing it. Jesus says, a bit of a warning, you know, he says, whatever you have done to the least of these, you've done unto me. Right. And so, like, there is this posture we take in our lives of recognizing that, hey, when we show hospitality, we are offering our lives to Christ by offering it to other people. And so, so, like, my prayer is, like, Holy Spirit, like, help me to have a hospitable heart so that I can participate in what you're doing in the world, so that I can help host your kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's what motivates me for it.
Yep. That's great. All right. Another episode down. Look forward to wrapping up the series this next week. Last one for now. Continue to submit your questions. We're fixing the QR code, so all people should be able to use it this next
week.
Even you Android users. We love you too. We have room in our hearts for you. And on that note, we will see you next week. That's a wrap for today. Stay curious, and we'll see you next week.